forgiveness. And then let's get to that word forgiveness. Oh, thank God. I think this, the word atonement is the biggest word to Israel under the old covenant. The word remission is the biggest word to sinners. But the word forgiveness is the biggest word to Christians. Now there's 1 John 1:9. We relate that a lot of times to sinners. You know that's not even talking about sinners at all. He isn't talking about sinners at all. John didn't write that word to sinners, this letter to sinners. Turn with me there. I want you to call your attention to something. I want to call your attention to something. Do you wear your shouting clothes tonight?
Yes.
I want to call your attention to something. See, John did not write this epistle to the world. It didn't belong to the world. It belongs to Christians. And in this epistle, the very first chapter, I want you to notice something. Let's start reading with the third verse, and I want you to underline the word fellowship. Now notice, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have, what's the next word?
Fellowship,
fellowship with us. And truly our, what's the next word?
Fellowship.
Fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have, what's the next word?
Fellowship.
That's three times He's mentioned fellowship. See, His subject is fellowship, not relationship, fellowship. We have fellowship with Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth's not in us. We lie and do not the truth. Seventh verse. But if we walk, oh glory to God, in the light. Not in darkness, but in the light. As He's in the light, we have fellowship. There it is again, fourth time. Full of fellowship, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let's go on reading, then we'll go back and go over it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Aren't you glad He is? Aren't you glad He is? He is faithful and just. To do what? To forgive us. Forgiveness belongs to the saints. You wouldn't know that the way a lot of saints act. You wouldn't even think some preachers know about it. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Now, don't take those verses out of context. See, some people say, just take it out of context, said, well, all of us, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not tell the truth because we all have sin. No, read the entire context. The man that's out of fellowship and walking in darkness, if he says he hadn't sinned, he's the one that's lying. If I'm walking in fellowship, listen to me, we read it, then I have, if I'm walking in the light, I have fellowship, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. If I'm cleansed from all sin, I don't have any sin. As long as I'm walking in the light, I'm all right. It's when you get into darkness that you get out of fellowship. But thank God there's a way back in. There's a way back in. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Aren't you glad that not only God forgives, but aren't you glad that we are so built that we can forgive? What if a husband and wife couldn't forgive one another? No, thank God we can. And most of us have to more often than we admit. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
No, thank God. Now, you see, a husband and a wife get out of fellowship. They don't get out of relationship. His subject's not relationship here. That's another subject. I'm not going to get into that now. Just because you sin, you're not out of fellowship. See, there's two extreme teachers in the church. A truce down the middle, two of them. One is, no matter what you do, no matter how you sin, you're all right, you're going to make heaven. Just go ahead and live like the devil and cuss and gamble and run around with women and drink. You're all right. Heard a preacher say years ago, I don't know, said I may run off with some other man's wife next week, but if I do, God's already forgiven me. I think a fellow like that's never been saved yet. Amen? I said, amen? That's one extreme. Now you get in the ditch on the other side, though. Fellow said, well, if you got up on the wrong side of the bed and spoke short to you a lot, why? You're unsaved. You got to get saved all over again. No, you didn't get out of relationship. She's still your wife. You're just out of fellowship. You need to get back in fellowship. Ask her to forgive you for speaking short to her. You ever have to do that? Yeah, I have. Sure. Amen. Do you ever have to? If you haven't, some of you men ought to start right now because you're way behind time. Amen. I said, amen. And you wives, you ever have to ask your husband to forgive you? If you haven't, you ought to start because you're way behind time. I remember I had an experience. I started preaching on just a teenager. I mean, yeah, I started at 17. Now, you know, not what we call full-time ministry, but I tell you, I was almost full-time. I mean, I was preaching every week. I mean, speaking to Bible study groups, preaching in jail, preaching on the streets, constantly. But then I started pastoring, you know. I started pastoring. Brother Rogers helped me on over in full gospel circles. And he's holding a meeting out in the country, and he didn't want to miss his service. So I said, Kenneth, would you preach out there? On Sunday, because he didn't want to miss his Sunday service, so I preached, and they wanted to start a church and wanted me to pastor. So I started pastoring as 18. I was 19 by the end of the summer. And now there I am, a single boy, 19 years old then, not married, didn't have, my entire library consisted of three books. I had the Bible, King James translation, I didn't even know there was any other translation. I sort of like that dear old woman down here in southern Oklahoma. She said the King James translation is good enough for Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. Amen. You know, that's the way with me. I didn't know there was any other kind of translation. I had a Bible. I had a little book somebody gave me called Life of Faith by Mrs. C. Newsom. Has all the same principles of faith you'll read after any faith teacher. Because if you're teaching faith, they have to be all the same. Amen. And then I got a Baptist preacher. See, because I started as Baptist, and a Baptist pastor, preacher, had given me a book to help me in sermon outline and call. It don't sound good, but anyway, it was Pulpit Germs. And really, it was just a little outline, just sort of like a handful of his own purpose, except just a small, you know, paper bag. In fact, I think he'd wore the back off of it when he gave it to me. Didn't have any back on it. Now, that's my total library. I never read a book on marriage. Well, of course, I read the Bible. It talked about marriage. You know. But there I am, a teenager, and I've got to counsel and help some of these folks that's married. Yeah. And I remember one of my experiences. Here's a couple. I mean, they're almost old enough. If they'd got married in their teens, they'd have been old enough to be my mom and daddy. But he came to me wanting help. She'd locked him out. She's saved and baptized of the Holy Ghost, but she's locked him out. Now, he's saved, but he ain't got the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is. He's got the Holy Ghost in him, you know, he's born again. Amen. But she's locked him out. He can't get in the house because they've had a knockdown drag out. Now, if you're not from Texas, you don't know what I'm talking about. That's a good Texas, Oklahoma colloquial expression. And so he wanted me to go see if I could help him. And so I went, and actually you could get into the house, but she got the door locked to the bedroom. And so I said, I'm here. I don't want to talk to you or anybody. Well, yeah, but you should. Your husband's here. I don't want to see him. I never want to see him again. Well, I said, he's here anyway. You say people in church act like that? Yeah, don't you? Sometime or another, probably maybe worse even. Well, I didn't know saved people act that way. Yeah, you did, because you're one of them. But thank God there's forgiveness. The thought I want to illustrate is, though, we can forgive one another as well as God forgiving us. And so I finally talked to her in the notion. I said, now listen, I didn't come here to take sides. My limited experience, I mean very limited at that time. It's extended now to 54 years. But very limited experience. My experience has been that in most cases, there's three sides to every argument. Your side, the other fellow's side, and then the right side. Because to some extent, usually most everybody's wrong to some extent. I didn't come here to take sides, I said, with him. Oh, she said. Through the door. And I didn't come to take sides with you. I come to see if I can straighten the situation out. Now open the door and let me in. So she unlocked the door. I went in with him. I thought, man, she's going to flog him like an old setting hen. I mean, you almost had to hold him apart. You say, her saved, got the baptism, speaking with tongues? Yeah. One lady said to me in Waco, Texas, one time I was teaching, she came up after a morning class and said, Brother Hagin, you didn't insinuate that carnal Christians could be filled with the Holy Ghost, did you? I said, no, ma'am. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't insinuate, I just flat said it, yeah. Oh, she said. Oh, I never thought that you'd say such a thing. I said, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Why, certainly, she said. I said, that proves it. Carnal Christian could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, thank God she was intelligent. Some of them aren't. She was intelligent. She stood there and thought for a minute, started like, said, you know you're right. I said, I told you I was. Amen. No, if you'll walk on with God, he'll help you to get rid of your carnality. But anyway, I began to talk to him, you know. And finally, she began to say, and I tell my folks at Rhema, our graduates, because I talk to these fellows who go down, don't pastor a church like I did. You're liable to get whipped. Just be yourself. Don't try to be me. Be yourself. Ever how God leads you. She let me know right off that they had been married umpteen years. She had never been wrong in her life. She was always right. Without thinking. I stuck my finger right in her face and said, Sister, you're a bald-faced liar. Now, you may not understand that up here. I mean, if you come from up north somewhere. And you, dear Canadian friend. That's a good Texas colloquial expression. That's what I said. You were a bald-faced liar. I mean, that got her. I mean, she liked it. If she'd have had false teeth, she'd have swallowed all of them. Both plates. I said, don't tell me that you're perfect. You've never been wrong. In fact, I said, from what I've been able to ascertain here, you're more wrong than he is. First place, you ought to start repenting and ask him to forgive you for being a holier-than-thou attitude. You know, she looked over at him, began to cry, and said, my God, forgive me. I'm worse than you are. I thought I was better, because I'm saved, baptized, Holy Ghost, talking tongue. I'm better than you are. But said, I see I'm worse. I was filled with spiritual pride. He said, I'm not going to let you take the blame. You wasn't altogether. Yes, she said, I was, too. So they had a good argument to who's the most to blame. And finally decided that they'd just share equally and hug one another and got back together. Praise God. And I never did have to go talk to them anymore. As far as I know, they made it all right. Or if they didn't, they knew how to get back. You see, thank God there is forgiveness. A lady came to me after one of their morning classes and said, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. I said, what for? Because sometime after the morning class, we'll take some time. This was in a church meeting several years ago. I said, what for? And she began to cry. And I'm not making fun of her. Just stating facts. Said, I wanted you to pray. I wanted you to cast this old unforgiving spirit out of me. She said, now, dear sister, I suppose in the same church there where I was holding meeting. Anyway, dear sister so-and-so, she began to tell me what she had done, how she treated her and what she had done. And said, now, I want to forgive her. God knows I want to forgive her, but I can't. I wanted you to cast this old unforgiving spirit out of me. I said, I didn't look to see if she had on a wedding band. I was looking in her face. I could tell she must be 40 years old. I said, sister, are you married? Oh, yeah. She said, I got married, you know. She told me when. Been married, I think, about 22. She said, I got married when I was 20. Been married 22 years, so that made her 42. See, that's how I knew. Amen. Got married when she was 20. Been married 22 years. I said, do you ever have to forgive your husband? She said, yeah, not any longer than the breakfast table this morning. I said, I thought you couldn't forgive. You just got through telling me you couldn't forgive. You know why you won't forgive that woman? You lied to God. Said, God knows. And I said, he knows you're a liar too. That's what he knows. I want to forgive her. If you can forgive one person, you can forgive another one. Amen. Now don't sit out there and look at me in that tone of voice. I'm telling you the truth about the matter. And I tell you, there's one side of it. I found out this a lot of time. I've been preaching healing for 54 years. And I found out this. Many times I've laid hands on some folks so you thought you, if they keep coming, I'm going to wear every hair off the top of their head. But one trip to the prayer room, they didn't even get to pray for them. The disease disappeared when they got a forgiving spirit. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
Now then, right on the other hand, there's another side to it. Let me say that and quit. I was holding a meeting in one of our larger cities. And this gentleman, a businessman in the city, member of a full gospel church, I laid hands on him twice. Now he had a severe heart condition. Actually, he had high blood pressure. And this was a number of years ago. I think they got better ways of treating it now. They could treat it to some extent then. But it will affect you. It affected his kidneys. He had kidney problems. And the high blood pressure had affected his heart until the doctors had recommended, heart specialists recommended that he sell his business and retire, stay on the medication, lie around and rest, and you might live another 2 years. That's the best they could tell him at the time. But he said, Brother Hagin, I don't want to sell my business. I'm only 56 years old. And he said, you've laid hands on me twice. This is days of the healing revival. Everybody else has laid hands on him. He's been in every healing meeting, every tent meeting in America. There's all over. Everybody's laid hands on him. I want to talk to you. Well, I didn't have time to talk to folks, but right then I said, I felt led to it. So I said, all right, I'm going to come early tomorrow night. 30 minutes early, you meet me here in the pastor's study and I'll talk to you. Well, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to go to church. I'm shaving. And suddenly, just like somebody standing behind me, said, do you think that I would require you to do something that I wouldn't do? I knew it was the voice of the Lord. I'd heard it many times. And without thinking, I said, why, no, Lord, you wouldn't do that. That would be unjust. And you're not unjust to require me to do something you wouldn't be willing to do. And so I finished shaving, went out of the bathroom, you see, and I began to put my clothes on. In fact, stuck one foot, in one pants leg, started to stick the other in. And about that time, again, just like it's a man's voice. I heard it. To me, it is audible. Nobody else is there. I don't know whether they'd heard it or not. But he said, do you think that I would require you to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do? I said, no, I don't believe that. You'd be unjust if you did it. And so then I got my pants on. And so I got my shirt on. And I'm tying my necktie. And sometimes you don't get it, where to hang just right. I had to tie it about three times. I'm on about the third tie. The third effort of tying it. And again, do you think I'd require something of you that I wouldn't be willing to do myself? I said, no, Lord, you wouldn't do that. You'd be unjust if you did that. And you're not unjust. I got in my car, put on my coat, got in my car, started towards the church. I'm driving along, tending my own business, just like somebody sitting in the back seat said, do you think that I would require you to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do? No, Lord, I said, you wouldn't do that. See, sometimes we don't know why God's speaking to us, but if we'd wait long enough, we'd find out. But sometimes God said something, folks jump up and run off with it and miss the whole thing. Are you listening? I said, no, you wouldn't require me to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do. If you did, you'd be unjust. You know what he said to me? You got your Bibles there? Turn back to Matthew. See, I can quote it. But I think I make a mistake doing that sometimes. For folks don't read it themselves and don't get it. Read it and mark it. If you can't write in your Bible, throw it away. Go out there to our book table and get one of my Bibles. You can write in it. Now notice. 27th verse. Here's the verse he gave me. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? Shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That's a good, pretty good, isn't it? Till seven times? That ought to be enough, oughtn't it? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Whew. If you'll put that with what he said over in Luke, that means all in one day. That means all in one day. How many is 70 times seven? 490 times. 490 times. I thought, what's he telling all of that to me? In a sense, maybe I knew it, but I didn't see it just that clear. Because really, I thought maybe two or three times would be enough. You know, we're that way, aren't we? We're not careful, huh? I said, huh? But when I got to church, I found out why he's talking to me. I got in the pastor's office, and I began to, you know, preach faith to this man, trying to get him to believe God, and he said, "Brother Hagin, I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I never told you about it, but I don't believe God's going to heal me." I said, "Healing's for me." "Well, I believe healing's for me, all right. Yeah, I believe that. I've heard, you know, Matthew 8:17. He's full gospel. Isaiah 53:4-5. 1 Peter 2:25. Preach, you know, all my life. Well, all these 30 years more I've been in church. I just don't believe God's going to heal, or will heal me. I'll put it that way. Don't believe God will heal." I said, "Why won't he?" "Well, I'll tell you. I've been in church 30 years. I'm 56 years old. And I'm a businessman. Have my own business. But I tell you, I've just missed it. I've just failed in so many ways. I've just come so far short." "Well," I said, "now what awful sins have you committed during this time? How many banks have you robbed?" "Said, not any." "How many have you killed?" "Not any." I said, "Well, what awful sins have you committed?" He said, "Brother Hagin, I've searched my life. It's not a sin of commission." He said, "It's a sin of omission. I know the Bible said to him that doeth do right and doeth not to him but sin." There are sins of omission as well as sins. And most all of us are guilty of plenty of them. Amen. And he said, "I've just omitted. You know, I've paid my tithes. And I've given offerings. I've supported missions to some extent. But I could have done so much more than what I've done. I could have done so much more and I didn't do it. I could have prayed so much more. I could have witnessed. I just don't believe God's going to heal me." I saw why God was talking to me. I said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "First of all, you know James 5:14. We're all familiar with that. In sick among them, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray of him, anoint the Lord, name the Lord. Prayer of faith to save the sick, Lord, to raise him up." Did you notice the next it says, "And if he's committed sins," didn't say it's a sin, "sins," plural, "sins. If he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him." No, I didn't notice that. I said, "See, that goes right along with healing." Then I said to him, he had his Bible. I said, "Let's go over here." We went over here to Matthew. I said, "Now, I want to ask you a question. How many times have you failed? Can you count up 490 times? "No, no, no, no." He said, "Man, I don't think I even failed 100 times." "My Lord," I said, "you've got 390 to work on then." You say, "What happened?" He got healed. He got healed. I was preaching in their city years later. And a fellow came, "Do you remember me?" "Well, it didn't write off." He told me, "Well, he's son of this man. Remember Dad was healed?" "Yeah." "Well," said, "he just retired last year at 75. I'm glad we didn't let him die at 56. But the devil's about to cheat him because he didn't understand this big word, forgive and forgiveness. Praise God. Amen. I said, "Amen.
Amen."
God wouldn't require you to do something he wouldn't willing to do, would he? If he did, it'd be unjust. Now, did you wear your shouting clothes? Let's close it out now. Let's go back over there to 1 John again. 1 Epistle of John. Amen. 1 Epistle of John. Remember, he's not talking, as we said, about relationship. That's another subject. God, on certain occasions, would break relationship, but you can't break it. Fellowship. He's talking about fellowship. Like a husband and wife. They may break fellowship, not even speaking to one another, but their relationship is still intact. The law established it, and they can't break it. Only the law can break it. Are you listening to me? But thank God there's a way back into fellowship. Hallelujah. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. But look at that 7th verse again. "But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now you see, a lot of time we think we're doing pretty good. See, I pastored nearly 12 years. I don't mean one church. One church, I pastored 4 years. Another church, 3 years. When I first started Pentecostal church, they'd change about every year, you know. I just saw their custom, you know. They don't do it as a custom. See? And I thought I did a good job. Man, I thought I did just a jam-up job. I mean, couldn't anybody done any better. But I got away from that church a couple of years and grew a little bit spiritually. And I looked back and I saw, dear God, I did such a miserable job. I failed in so many ways. I said, "Oh, God, forgive me." But see, I was walking all the light ahead and the blood cleansed me. I was so embarrassed I wouldn't even go back and visit them anymore. I did such a poor job. But you see, it's walking all the light ahead. There's a continual, as long as you walk in all the light you have, there's a continual cleansing. And you know, we need that because we're missing it more than we think we are. Every step out of love is sin. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Can you say it? Hallelujah. But then, when you do miss it and you know you missed it, don't wait till you get to church. Bless God right then. Confess the thing. Lord, forgive me. And thank God He's faithful. I said He's faithful. I said He's faithful. I said He's faithful. And He's just. Same Greek word translated justice, translated righteous. Some translations said He's faithful and righteous. To do what? To forgive us. Thank God for forgiveness. No use of us criticizing anybody else. If it wasn't for God's forgiveness, not a one of us would be here tonight. Not a one of us would be enjoying the blessings of God. We don't have any stones to throw at anybody. She was interviewing me yesterday here over one of the TV stations. They said in the light of what's happened, you know, in the last 2 years, of the fall of certain television evangelists, what comment do you have? I said, I don't have any comment. They asked me before, some of them, long distance, some news media. You mind me taking a little journey? Little side journey? You mind me taking a little side journey? You know, sometimes get more out of that to do the main line. I was reading the other day in the Bible. I read the whole Bible through in the last 4 months and on again the second time through. And I was reading there about they brought a fellow to Jesus and they couldn't get in because of the press. Yeah. I thought, dear God, the same thing's true today. You can't get anywhere because of the press. Boy, you go by the press, you won't get anything from God. Amen. Amen. What do you think about it? I said, I don't have any comment. I said, I don't criticize anybody. I've been in the ministry 54 years. I've never criticized anybody yet. I've never called anybody's name. I said, putting out the other fellow's candle never lights yours. I'm not out to put out anybody's candle. I'm out to light people's candle. I said, I believe in restoration and favor with God. I believe in forgiveness. Glory to God. And you just feel so much better when you live over there. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song. I think we need to get back and sing some of them. Like I said, we used to sing a song in Pentecostal circles. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Hallelujah. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. But you run around criticizing people and finding fault with folks and digging up their sins and talking about their past, and you'll have something between your soul and your Savior. And your prayers won't be heard. And your faith won't work. And you'll get sick. You got to walk in love if you're going to stay well. I'm not bragging on me. You understand that? I've asked the Lord, Lord, how can I say that I won't attract attention to me? Because I don't want to lift myself up. The Lord said to me, tell it just like it is. Tell it just like it is. I'm in my 54th year. I'll start my 55th year of divine health in August, next month. Last headache I had was August 1933. I go 5-7 years at a time. Don't even know I got a body. Amen. I'm 71 years old. I'm still a-going. Bless God, 2 services every day. Amen. Narvel said, we went up there to his camp and said, we won't ask you to preach but one time a day. I said, dear God, I just speak once a day. I'm on vacation. Just having a high heel time. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen. But that's one thing. I never allowed the least bit of animosity, ill will, wrong feeling towards anybody. No matter what anybody said about me. I've never answered yet. I just keep lifting up Jesus. I just keep lifting up Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Praise His holy name forever. No. Learn to walk in the light. Now notice this. Let's look at something else here. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with a few of the saints. Well, we fellowship with them that we like. No, if we're walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, you may not have fellowship with me, but bless God, I'm in fellowship with every saint. Amen? If I'm not, I'm not in the light. Those dear people, bless their darling hearts, because they don't agree with every little old minor thing. We agree on the majors. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's virgin born. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was raised from the dead for our justification. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
But then, you're not going to agree on every little jot and tittle and X, Y, Z. Sure, we're at various stages of spiritual growth. I can't fellowship with you because you don't believe every little old thing just like I do. That I'm not in the light. Some of these little exclusive religious clubs can't go anywhere else to church or fellowship with anybody else except with our little group. They're not in the light. They're in the darkness. They're in the dark. I said, they're in the dark. I said, they're in the dark. We walk in the light. As he's in the light, we have fellowship. Glory to God, one with another. Amen? Now, let's go on reading in conclusion. I've been trying, you know, we've got expressions down here in South and Texas and all, like the expression, fixing. I preached for Dr. Duffield. Brother Hicks, of course, knows him well. Great man of God. Pomona, California, First Four Square Church. Whole month of November, 1956. A whole month of January, 1956. And then he went to Canada, to Vancouver, to First Four Square Church there. And invite me up there. That's where I got November. I went up there in November the same year. Preached there. Of course, when I got there, he wanted me to preach on Sunday morning. He introduced me. And then he said, so I came up. He put his arm and said, now, Brother Hagin, I want you to interpret for me. He said, I picked up some of your expressions when you preached for me there in January. And they asked me what I meant by it. Now, for instance, you'd come to the end of a sermon, and you'd already preached too long. You kept saying, I'm fixing to quit. I'm fixing, see? He said, and so unconsciously I picked that up. And I said to him up here in Canada, I'm fixing to quit. They said, what do you mean by that? Fixing. He said, I didn't know. Now he said, interpret for us. What do you mean by fixing? I said, well, that means I'm commencing to get ready to begin to stop. So I've been commencing to get ready to begin to stop for the last 10 minutes. I don't know how much longer it'll go. I trust not much longer. Look here real quick, real quick. You got your shouting clothes? You wear them tonight? Look at the second chapter of First Epistle of John. See, John didn't write this letter in chapter and verses. Man divided the chapter and verses. You ever write a letter to anybody in chapter and verses? No. You see, these two verses go with the same message that he's saying, what he's saying. My little children, these things are right. These things, what I just got through saying, what we call the first chapter. These things I write unto you. What I want to write unto you, that you sin not. No, he's not encouraging people to sin. The Holy Ghost is not encouraging people to sin. He's discouraging people to sin. Amen? And if any man sin. Thank God, I'm glad he added that. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. See, you did wrong, you sinned, you lose your sense of righteousness. But you come in, dear God, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me. You know, really, if you're really born again, though you missed it, because how many are there of us that haven't missed it? Then you don't have a right to criticize anybody. But you know on the inside of you, in your heart, sometimes the flesh threw you. Sometimes the world system got you. Sometimes the devil, because you were weak. But on the inside of you, right down in here, you didn't want to. It's sort of like the little girl, young lady. Mr. Moody said, she said, Mr. Moody, I want to be saved. But she said, I love to dance, worldly dancing. And you preach against that. And I've tried to quit, but I can't quit dancing. Mr. Moody said, well, honey, you come right on. They called it an inquiry room. We called it a prayer room. Come right on to the prayer room. Give your heart to Jesus. You can dance all you want to. And so she went to the inquiry room, got born again. Mr. Moody said he met her on the street about 5 days later. And she smiled and said, I see what you mean now. The want to's gone. No, you get born again and that new man, all things are made new. The want to for wrong is gone. But we miss it. Sometimes because of our immaturity, sometimes because of the lack of our minds renewed with the Word of God. But thank God there's a way back.
Hallelujah!
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's a way back. So you lose your sense of righteousness. You can't come into the presence of the Father. You're embarrassed. You're ashamed. But you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus. He's the righteous advocate. He can go in. You come to Him and say, Jesus, forgive me. He's the head of the church. He's the one you've sinned against. And thank God He's righteous. He goes into the presence of God and said, I shed my blood. I took their place. They've confessed. And thank God He is faithful. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us. If that's all He did, just forgave our sins, we'd be in an unhappy dilemma. But He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Now then, I'm righteous. I'm clean. I'm righteous. Oh yeah, but I feel so bad because I missed it. Well, you see, you've slipped back into the natural. No. Keep walking in the light. Stay in the light. Stay in the light. The light of what? The entrance of His words giveth light. The light of His word. I'm clean. I'm clean. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven. I'm talking to Christians now. It's all under the blood. And I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now notice. Not only is He the advocate. Very often you hear people call a lawyer an advocate. That's what it means. A lawyer, an advocate is a lawyer or one who pleads our case. Thank God we've got one up there pleading our case that never has lost a case. Amen. He never lost one. Now notice. And He is. Who is Jesus Christ the righteous? Verse 2 now. He is. What is He? The propitiation for our sins. Now notice. And not for ours only. Notice He differentiates between the sins of believers of the church and the sins of the world. He's a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now you see, that's the thing that startles a lot of these goody-goody church members. I'm ashamed to admit it, me being a native Texan, that anybody in Texas would be that stupid. Now if they're from California, you might expect it. Forgive me, Fred. But there's everything in the world in California, I tell you, brother. No, I'm ashamed to admit it. But I'm preaching in a full gospel, tongue talking, divine healing believing, supposed to believe the Bible church. And here's a fella that had been backslid 3 years. He got saved, never did get filled with Spirit, because they didn't know how to get him filled. They all sought and sought and sought and sought and sought and sought. And I believe in seeking God. Don't misunderstand me at all. But you don't have to do that to get filled with the Spirit. But anyway, he'd got out of church, backslid, never set his foot inside the church for 3 years. Got sick. But thank God he knew God. He got back in my meeting and came to the altar. Got back into fellowship with God and instantly got healed. And I'm having these day teaching services every morning at 10 o'clock. He had just testified, you see. In church about being healed. Everybody knew about his physical condition because his wife and folks came to church and they knew him. He hadn't set a foot inside church 3 years. But he's healed from this incurable condition. Healed. Doctors can't find a trace of it. Happy. Not only that, got baptized the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Got it all in one package. Amen. I think some people think God got to striz it out about over 6 months anyway. No. And so, I'm teaching on Monday now. See? Monday morning, I finished my class, and here come the dear lady, bless her darn heart. Tell me, I saw her coming. I knew she's mad. Tell by looking at her. Come up to her. I shook hands with her. Just barely shook hands. We dropped your hands, you know, like it was a hot rock or something. I wish you'd tell me something, please. Well, I said, well, if I can. I don't know everything, but don't bother me. Tell people I don't know. Amen. I don't know everything, do you? No. I said, I'll tell you if I can, but it won't bother me to tell you I don't know. Well, now I want to know something. Well, I said, what is it you want to know? Now, she called this fellow's name. Now, I happen to know. Because, you see, I've been in this church right here for 16 years. Now, he used to come to church here. He got saved. But he hadn't been in church for 3 years. Just out there living like the devil. Besides that, I happen to know he had him another woman. He is a shacking up with. His wife come here, little kids. And drinking and cursing. Living like the devil. And he got in here. Now, how come God to heal him with that kind of a background?
Now, I've been right here in this church, and you can get that to anybody. Not a better Christian in this church than me. I live a better life than any. You just ask anybody. I live a better life than anybody in here.
I said, yeah, I'm probably the biggest hypocrite among the bunch. First place, you ought to repent and ask God for, ask you, forgive you for lying. Jesus said there's none good but one. Why call us now? I'm any good? That's God. How come God to heal him and he won't heal me? Yeah, I said, you see, she failed to realize what forgiveness is. She's not willing to forgive him. She's not willing to forgive him for backsliding. But God forgave him for backsliding. Amen? God forgave him because he was sincere and honest and came. He forgave him. He cleansed him. He healed him. He filled him with the Holy Ghost. I said, sister, if you'd start repenting, he'd heal you too. I don't sit out there and look at me in that tone of voice. But see, she don't know this big word, forgiveness. It's just a word to her. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. Amen? Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
You know, we ought to not be out to, like she is, to down somebody and tell some about somebody's past. We ought to be out to help them. We ought to be out to lift them up. If they miss it, restore them. God's in the restoration business. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I don't think this would embarrass anybody. We got a gentleman here. Last church I pastored, he got saved. Just a baby Christian. His wife came by the parsonage. I mean, they're sitting right out here in front of me right now. She's just a crying, said, Brother, Sister Hagin said, or Brother Hagin said, you know, my husband got mad on the job yesterday, and some of the men said he cursed. He hadn't been saved 2 weeks. And said he's home in bed today because he'd had an injury in time past and his back's a-killing him. Now don't tell him I came by because he'd get mad about that. My wife and I began to laugh because I'd just been shaving 10 minutes before. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go and restore so-and-so. I believe you ought to pastor a church. You pastors ought to pastor a church supernaturally. We're in a supernatural thing. And we said to her, my wife and I said to Clara, I said to her, well, you just asked why. I told her 10 minutes ago what the Lord... I don't have to tell him, you told me. The Lord told me. Go restore him. Don't go tell everybody in the church about it. Go restore him. She said, well, he's around a certain bedroom. So I went around and knocked on the door. And man's voice said, come in. I stuck my head in the door. And when he saw his knees, he's embarrassed. See, he pulled a cover up over his head. Oh, man. And I went there and got on my knees. I could hear him crying. And I just began to weep with him. The Bible said, weep with them that weep. And I just put my arms around him. And I tried to pull the cover off. And he's trying to hold it, you know. But his back's a-hurting. He can't hold it. And I finally got the cover off. And he's a-weeping. And I've just rubbed my hand under his arm, his head and shoulders. And held him in my arms. And said, Brother Exton, we're not going to let the devil have you. Jesus loves you. I was shaving. He spoke to him and said, I want you to go restore him. He got mad on the job yesterday. Lost his temper. High-tempered like a lot of us. No use talking about him. I was just as high-tempered. And cursed. The Lord said he cursed. He said, Brother Hagin, if I did, I didn't know it. I'm just so mad, though, I didn't know what I was doing. I've been there. I got so mad, I didn't know what I was doing. Don't know what I said. And if I did, I don't know it. But the men said it did. I guess it did. I said, that's all right. He said, I told Claire, I'm not coming to church anymore. God don't love me. Oh, dear God, we don't need to side in with the devil when those folks have failed and missed it. We don't need to run and push them down. I don't care if they're a preacher. Don't care if they're a television evangelist. We don't need to side in with the press. And the devil. The press is just another way of saying devil. I never thought that up. Just came up out of me. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
No, I said, we're not going to let the devil have you. God sent me out here. And he said, oh, my back's hurting me so bad. That old injury come back on me. And I just laid my hand on his back and said, Lord, you love him. I know he just sees a baby and he failed, but you love him. And you sent me out here to restore him, forgive him, and heal him. Heal him. And he jumped like he shot. And he began to feel his back. He said, it's gone. Every pain left. It's all gone. Now he began to cry in a different way. Before he's crying, you know, remorseful. Now then it's the tears of joy. Tears of joy. Yeah, they're tears of joy. He said, the Lord does love me, don't he? He healed me. He doesn't. Sure said he loves you. Amen. He sent me. You know, he don't have to speak audibly to any of us. I learned my lesson. He never spoke that way. Well, one more time he did. But I know now what to do without him speaking. And you ought to know without him speaking. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
I said, amen.
Amen.
I said, amen.
Amen.
Forgiveness. Restoration. Go hand in hand. Thank God, is there forgiveness? Is there restoration? Is there any help? Is there any hope? Thank God there is. Thank God there is. And how does God forgive? I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, and I'll not remember. Let me close with this illustration. I was holding a meeting down in South Texas. Man, we were struggling. I know God spoke to me supernaturally, told me to go there. We was on Wednesday night of the second week. But brother, it was, as we say down in Texas, tough sledding. You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard. We dated to go 3 weeks. I'm thinking about Wednesday. I'm thinking about closing Sunday. I said, dear God, nothing happening. It's dead. But this Wednesday night of the second week is a mighty move of the Spirit of God. God used me. God used other people in gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge. Mighty. I'll tell you, it turned that thing around. I said to myself, this is the turning point. It's just like a much difference is between the daylight and dark. And from then on it was. Great meeting. I went home, got my wife was at home at that time, and got my little old 26-foot trailer. Looked at the news on television about 10 o'clock, turned the light off, prayed, turned the light off, trying to go to sleep. But there's some thoughts are lurking in the back of my mind. Finally, I just rose up and turned the light on and said, all right, Lord, all right, let's have it out. That man that God used there, and I know it's the Holy Ghost. I know that was the Holy Ghost. I know it's a manifestation of the Spirit. I know it was supernatural. And I know it turned the meeting, and I was right, it turned the meeting around. I mean, it's just like it's much different between heaven and hell almost from then on. But I drove my car down the main street, and I saw him this very day, this afternoon, go into that dark dive. And I drove on by. Now, how could you use him? I know it's the Holy Ghost. But how could you use him? And he went into that dark. You know what I mean? Huh? Yeah. Now, there's some folks in that church. I said, there's dear old sister so-and-so, 80 years old, been living with God 60 years. Why couldn't you use her? Holy, you know. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, the trouble with you is you don't believe your own preaching. I'll tell you, it hurt me right in here. See, that's where he talks in the Spirit. I grabbed my stomach. I had to hold it. It hurt. Just like somebody jabbed me in the stomach. I said, Lord, you've hit me a low blow. Well, you know me. That's where the problem is. He does. I'm a stickler for the Word. What do you mean I don't believe my own preaching? Well, he said, you preach all the time. I said there in Isaiah, reading what it is, 43rd chapter, 25th verse, I even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions, I will not remember thine iniquities. But he said, you see what you don't know, because you drove on by. What you don't know is that fella barely got inside that door and straightened up and said, "Dear God, what am I doing in here? My Lord." And he got out of there and said, "God, forgive me." And he said, "I forgave him and I could use him because I didn't remember he'd ever done anything wrong." Can you see that? Yeah, but she said, "I don't believe it." Then you don't believe the Bible. Come on. I know we call ourselves word church. There's not many of them. In fact, I dare say there's none. We call ourselves that. But you read to get down what the Word said, it's a different story. Boy, they sure got quiet on me, didn't he? I mean, sure did he? He said, "That's the reason I get..." Beside that, he said, "Sister so-and-so, 80 years old." He said, "What you don't know about her was," you said, "60 years been living holy." "Oh, yeah," said, "she meets all the regulations and rules." But said, "I tried to get her 60 years ago to obey me, and she's been in disobedience for 60 years. That's the reason I couldn't use her. But I didn't remember that this fellow did anything wrong. Actually, he never did read to do anything wrong. He's about to. Caught himself. Said, "God, what did I come in here for? Forgive me." Walked out. See, you didn't see that. See, too many times we judge. We don't understand. Are you out there?
Yes.
Three of the biggest words.